This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a lot of us experience FOMO, the fear of missing out at some point in our lives. A psychologist who researches this fear joins the show to help us understand why we feel it and what we can do about it. Now, I mentioned yesterday that I'd visited one of Wisconsin state parks this weekend, the first time I ever went to Aztalan State Park near Lake Mills. And that made me wonder what parks you like, which ones you think I ought to check out next. Late summer and early fall are great times to visit Wisconsin state parks, trails, and forests. The weather's looking pretty good around the state today. We're looking for your recommendations. Want to hear from you right now about your favorite parks to visit in and around Wisconsin. You can join in right now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. What is your favorite Wisconsin state park, forest, or trail? What do you like about it? What's your favorite trail to hike or lake to swim in? What do you like to do at your favorite park? Is it for hiking or boating or camping? Or you answer the question at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. We asked around WPR. I want to give a listen to one of the responses we got from Trina LaSousa.
Balance Rock Trail at Devil's Lake State Park is the best trail. It's one of the more difficult trails, to be honest, because you have to maneuver some very steep stone steps, but the views at the end are totally worth the effort it takes to get there.
Lake is a classic, and I think we might hear from a lot of people picking Devil's Lake as a favorite. It's kind of a rock star of Wisconsin state parks. I've been there. I've done that trail. Love to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What state park do you think I ought to visit? What do you recommend? What is your favorite thing to do there? Join in at 800-642-1234. By the way, it can be an official Wisconsin state park. Could be your county or local park, or if you're beyond the borders of Wisconsin, love to hear about that too. Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got some suggestions there. Joe recommends Willow River and Kinnickinnick State Parks. And Jessica says Hartman Creek, great mountain biking trails, and the Ice Age Trail runs through the property too. If water sports are your thing, Chain of Lakes is right there too. Well, thank you so much for getting us started with those recommendations. We asked around the state here now from our colleagues. Ezra Wall writes, Copper Falls State Park. Maybe the most beautiful place in the whole state. It is absolutely grand. After living many years in the South, though, Ezra says, I did make the mistake of booking my camping trip to Copper Falls for mid to late September. Overnight temps were in the low 30s, and I was not prepared. But it was lovely and worth a little cold. Thanks for that, Ezra. You know, I love waterfalls. I haven't been to Copper Falls State Park. I got to cross that off my list sometime. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Monique is with us by Plainfield. Monique, hi.
Hi.
What park do you have for us?
So, Wyalusing, down in the southwestern part of the state, is one of those gems that people don't realize how beautiful it is. And when you hike to the tops of the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi River, it's just gorgeous.
It is. That is a great hike. And you could see the convergence of a couple rivers from up there, if I remember correctly, Monique.
Yep.
And
as long as I'm on another one on the northern part of the Mississippi is Kinnickinnick.
All right, another vote for Kinnickinnick. Thank you so much, Monique, for that. Yeah, Wyalusing, that one I've been through a few times now. Always worth visiting again. We are taking your suggestions for great state and other parks in Wisconsin. Join in at 800-642-1234 with your recommendations or your stories. Michael is with us next in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm in the Appleton area. There are a few parks that I, regularly go to that are relatively nearby. Peninsula State Park and Pottawatomie State Park up in Door County. And then closer is High Cliff And then I also love, if you go a little further north, outside the peninsula, Marinette County has a really nice series of county parks, and a lot of them, I'm not sure about most of them, but a lot of them have really pretty waterfalls, and it's a really nice way to spend a day.
Michael, that sounds great. Now, it sounds like you get out a lot. Are you going for day hikes? Are you camping at some of these, a combination?
A little bit of both. I actually just got back last week. I was camping down in technically not a state park, a state forest, Kettle Moraine Forest, the Pike Lake Unit.
Sure.
And I was camping for a few days. And then actually the day I came back, I decided I wasn't quite done with outside and went to High Cliff for about 4 hours.
Fantastic. So, all right, Michael, thanks for all those great suggestions in the easy reach of the Appleton area. How about you? What state parks do you love going to again and again? Do you make a point of seeking out new parks, state or otherwise? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. You can also join in the conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. From our colleagues, D. Hall says, our favorite state park is Rock Island. It takes two ferry rides and lugging your gear to a campsite. But our 5 nights there each summer is the highlight of the year for our family. Dee says we've been making the trip for more than 20 years. Nice. Second would be Copper Falls State Park. There that is again. Dee says it feels like a slice of the West in northern Wisconsin with massive cliffs, raging rivers, and steep waterfalls. All right, people, I got to get up to Copper Falls. How about you? If you want a third Copper Falls for me, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Judith Marie Heise, oh, she's got a bunch of recommendations. She says, I'll share one now. For overnight summer camping, Governor Dodge State Park is superb. Excellent campsites, beach and boat rentals are terrific. Trails for hiking and biking and the canyon hike waterfall. It has something for everyone. Let's go back to your calls now. Cheryl is with us in New Holstein. Cheryl, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to recommend?
We love Governor Thompson, and nearby Governor Earl is smaller, not as many amenities, but it's also a very beautiful little park. And we like White Mound County Park down in the southern part of the state, but I can't remember what county it's in.
I'll try to figure that out. And Cheryl, what are you doing? Are you hiking, camping, a little bit of everything?
We typically camp, and when we go camping, we are either biking, hiking, fishing. We like smaller lakes for canoeing, so we've made it a goal. We wanted to get every state park while our kids were young camping, and we didn't make it, so now we're trying to finish up the last few that we haven't been to on our own.
So you got pretty close, though, it sounds like.
We did. Then they added a few new ones since the kids have grown, so we're trying to hit them all.
All right, that is fantastic, Cheryl. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We are taking your calls about your favorite parks to visit in and near Wisconsin and what makes them so great. State parks, sure, state forests, trails, or your local county parks, city parks for that matter. Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. Do you have a particularly fond memory associated with one of these parks? Do you like to go swimming, boating, biking, learning the history like I did at Aztalan, or buying souvenirs? What are your favorite things to do near a particular state park? I'm always looking for good restaurants to add to my park experience. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We are taking your suggestions for great state parks or other parks to visit here in Wisconsin and beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your recommendations. Is there a park that's especially nice late summer or into the fall? Do you have tips for finding the best campsite, swimming spot, vista, boat launch at your favorite park? What are some underrated hidden gems in the Wisconsin park system? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. Walt is with us in Fort Atkinson. Walt, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hi, good afternoon. I want to put a plug in for Korth County Park in Jefferson County. That's K-O-R-T-H. And what I really want to mention is our event called Brew with a View, where Tyra Nina Brewing Company at Lake Bills supplies beer. And we have a band, usually a great band, and some food trucks. And 300 or 400 people show up with their lawn chairs and have a great time. It's from 5 till 8 on Thursday, the 24th, is our last one for this year. So we really invite people out to enjoy the view of Rock Lake. And this is on Highway S in Jefferson County.
Korth Park in Jefferson County. You said that's on the 24th, the last one of the season.
That's right. 24th, Thursday afternoon. This park is right on the west shore of Rock Lake, a beautiful lake, deep lake.
Sounds fantastic. Brew with the View. I love it. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Walt, at 800-642-1234. Diane joins us now in Maquonago. Diane, hi.
Yes, hi. Hello. I'm just going to tell everybody not to show up to Devil's Lake State Park on September 2nd because we're having our son's marriage, a reception there. They got married 3 years ago, 2020, in Los Angeles area. She works for Angels National Forest. Anyway, they're going to come home and do the reception, and we're going to be in Devil's Lake. And I heard if too many people show up, some of us people that are going to want to be at their wedding, like I'm the mother of the groom, I might not even get in. But anyway, my daddy, he probably built those stairs that are in that park.
With the Civilian Conservation Corps?
Yes, he was with CCC because he couldn't speak English. So he went into the CCC, and then he went right to the Philippines for the World War. But that was just, you know, when I step on those steps this coming September for Labor Day weekend, I'm just going to remember what a wonderful man. And that park, he loved nature. So that park was probably a heartthrob for him, too. So we're going to go. And, yeah, everybody can come. Just join the Chloe and Dooley Stickman party if you come in.
All right. Thanks for the invite, Diane. I'll happily crash that. Have a great wedding for in your family there. And we'll hope for good weather for you. What a great story, too, about the building of the park. We are taking your recommendations of great state and other parks to visit here in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Emily joins us now in Port Edwards. Emily, hello.
Hi. I wanted to recommend Emnicon Falls. I took my kids there this year, and it was great because you can, like, actually swim, like, you're in the falls. And we also love Kohler Andre State Park. And I also wanted to share, our neighbors actually got us a state park pass as a Christmas gift, which is probably one of the coolest things that we have ever received as a family.
I do that for my wife, actually. That's a tradition now. I get the state park pass for the next year for Christmas. I want to ask, I've been to Kohler Andre. I haven't been to Emnicon Falls. That's by Superior, I think. You're swimming in falls. Sounds like it might be a little chilly. I don't know. Is it, Emily?
Well, we were there on the cusp of a thunderstorm, but there's shallower parts, which are nice and toasty, and then we didn't get too close in the falls because there was quite a big group there, but it wasn't too bad.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for sharing. Another falls I haven't been to that I ought to get to. Thanks for that call, Emily, at 800-642-1234. You can join in with your state park recommendation at 800-642-1234. Had a couple more from Judith Marie Heise, Lake Caganza State Park. I've been there. Ooh. But for winter candlelight ski, I haven't done that. Also, Mirror Lake for winter skiing. We went to one of their summer concerts, Judith says, at Mirror Lake in their amphitheater on a Friday evening. Truly magical and wonderful evening. Good recommendations there. Let's bring on Rana now in Cameron. Rana, hello.
Hello. I'm pretty excited to recommend Big Bay Park to everyone up there on Lake Superior, and also the town of Bayfield has a great city park available right there, too. You can get all your Lake Superior kayaking, water skiing, rock hunting, not water skiing, water sports in that you can stand. So that's where I'd like to go.
And Ron, Big Bay, is that that's the one on Madeline Island, right?
Correct.
Okay, I have been to that one, and I think I've been to your Bayfield City Park. I didn't get into the water, though, I will admit, in Bayfield. Now, are these just summertime activities for you, or do you check them out other times of the year?
Oh, no. I'm a four-season girl up there, so I like to snowshoe and cross-country ski, and then in the fall, I like to just go up and ride my bike and leaf look and sit on the beach and watch the tide come in and out, especially in the evening, and build a beach on the, a fire on the beach. And yeah, four seasons, you got to do it. Take the snow, drive across the snow in the wintertime and take your friends from the south, and they're terrified because they don't realize they're on a giant lake. It's a lot of fun.
That is fantastic, Rana. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We are taking your calls, your recommendations for great parks to visit in Wisconsin this time of year, or we've gotten a couple of great wintertime suggestions any time of the year. Or is there a place you go back to again and again and watch it change over the course of the seasons? Join in. Still time for you to call. If you hit a busy signal, at lines are open now for you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Also, we're asking for you to comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Oh, we heard from Pam on Facebook. Oh, what do we got? Oh, another vote for Copper Falls. All right, all right. Copper Falls. I'll go there. Zachary wrote an email from Arcadia. Zachary says, my favorite park where I have lots of childhood memories is Mirror Lake Park in Mondovi. Great place to fish and play with the kids. Thank you so much, Zachary, for emailing ideas@WPR.org. Still looking for you to call in now at 800-642-1234. Still time for you to put in your vote, your plug for a great state park, maybe one to recommend to me. I was looking down the list. I thought I would have been able to check out a lot more. I've been to a bunch, but there are many, many, too many that I have not been to yet. You can scold me for that at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Another one from a colleague here, Governor Nelson Park, a day-use park by Madison for snowshoeing on the Morningside Trail. Great for bird watching in April. Lots of migrating birds come through, both in the woods and on Lake Mendota. There's also a Halloween bonfire and candlelight hike, a can't-miss event for the family. That's a park that I have been to. I haven't missed them all. You can still join in, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your park recommendation or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I've got people online just waiting for them to be ready. There we go. Lanny is with us in Ashland. Lanny, hi. Are you there, Lanny?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
what here. Did you want to recommend?
Well, I love Wisconsin. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and, I moved up here maybe 20 years ago, but I want to make people aware that, don't take any driftwood or anything, any sand off the beach, because actually you can get a fine for it. I don't want to be negative, but some friends of mine were collecting driftwood, and they took it home, and the DNR followed them and fined them $137 for taking driftwood off the beach, So... Just give you a heads up, if anyone's collecting driftwood, just beware, I guess, I don't know what else to say. I just want to make you guys aware of that. It blew me away,
Interesting. So the only thing to bring home, Lanny, is going to be photos and memories, huh?
And your kids, hopefully.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Lanny, thanks for the heads up. Yeah, I don't generally want to pick up the driftwood. We'll go now to Eric at 800-642-1234. Eric calling from Madison. Eric, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love the show.
Thanks. What is your favorite park?
I really love Northwood County Park up there just north of Pittsville in Wood County. It has a gorgeous little suspension bridge, nice river flowing through it, the little rapids you can walk out in.
Ooh. Do you have a favorite time of year to go there, Eric?
Actually, right about now, when the dog days of summer, when it's still nice and hot, but the water is real cool and refreshing. Everything's leafed out and just gorgeous and green.
That sounds fantastic. And when was the last time you were out there, Eric, or do you have a trip planned right now?
Unfortunately, I don't have one planned, and it's been about a decade since I moved out of Wood County.
Gotcha. Well, I hope you get back there soon, Eric. Thanks a lot for that recommendation for Northwood County Park in Wood County. Yeah, some of those hot days. I think it's going to get hot this weekend in Wisconsin. Getting out in the rapids sounds pretty nice. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Hey, the Central Time staff has some suggestions here. I guess we can hear from them. Lauren says Janesville. He's always talking Janesville. Janesville is the city of parks. It's true. There are some really nice parks in Janesville. Dean Knetter says, besides the beach, Harrington Beach State Park has a wonderful trail around an old quarry that's now a crystal clear lake. Ooh, that sounds pretty cool. What else? We had another one. Oh, Michael in Appleton gives us a follow-up, says, you could check and you can take some things, foraging for mushrooms in some cases, depends on what the thing is, but people should, Michael agrees, check on the DNR website before you start taking stuff. Ron is with us now on the road. Ron, hello.
Oh, I'd recommend Merrick State Park. The Friends Group is real active. It's a park on the Mississippi River, just north of Fountain City, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The Friends Group puts on nature programs and stuff every Saturday night down there. They put a handicapped accessible canoe and kayak brand launch there, and they've got canoes and kayaks. The backwaters are beautiful. The fishing's beautiful. It's just a really neat park.
That's good. How often do you find yourself getting there, Ron?
I would say we probably get there half a dozen times a month.
Oh, wow. Are you part of the Friends Group?
Yes.
Awesome.
But we also camp there, fish there, do a lot of boating out of the park as well.
All right. Ron, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for the work you do to help keep that park up. Friends Groups do a lot of great work at state parks around the state. Rochelle Wilson here on the Central Time team says, I just went to Peninsula State Park for the first time this past weekend. I love the beautiful views of Lake Michigan. Well, hey, thanks everyone who called in today. You could keep sharing your recommendations for your favorite parks and forests in and around Wisconsin. You can email ideas at WPR.org or join the conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know. Let me know where I should go to check out a cool park, what kind of things you love to do there, your favorite season or seasons to check out that park. Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I could share more of your suggestions over the course of this week. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, Republican presidential candidates are gearing up for their first debate. That's next week in Milwaukee. Get a preview of the event, find out what might be at stake for the candidates, and, as of now, who is and isn't expected to show up. Join that conversation. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Yesterday on the show, we listened back to a great conversation about books that were adapted into movies, which ones work, which ones don't, and you called in and shared a lot with us. Here are some more of your comments. Mike from Wauwatosa says he likes finding out that a movie he liked also had a book version. It's like he gets to watch it again and learn more about the story. Mike mentioned the Bourne movies as an example he liked. Joe happened to be driving through from New York. Joe says, authorial voice is important in a screenplay. Joe mentioned The World According to Garp as capturing the spirit of the author's voice, but he said great Gatsby adaptations haven't been able to replicate F. Scott Fitzgerald. David from La Crosse mentioned a movie called The River Wye that was made into a movie. The movie left out some details, but he says they did a good job of bringing the characters to life. They did the book justice. Dennis emailed with some relevant movie references. Keep the movie close, but the book's closer, and we're going to need a bigger book. Let's have a Central Time book and movie. What the heck? This is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, the webcomic Strange Planet has millions of viewers on Instagram for its strangely literal aliens. Now TV has come knocking for its creator, Nathan Pyle. Pyle talks about aliens and all things absurd today at 6 on 1A+. Now, you may have had this experience at some point in your life, maybe this week. Your friends or acquaintances do something fun, and you hear about it afterward, or maybe you see a post on social media while it's going on. You feel like you missed out. Why are they having fun? Well, you're not. Or you came in late to a hilarious online conversation, or you were the last one to find out about the meme everybody else was talking about. You may be experiencing FOMO, the fear of missing out. This fear of missing out is not a new concept, but has gotten a lot of attention in the social media age. And it can have some effects on our mental health and social interactions. Our next guest has researched the experience in young people and adults. He's here to help us better understand and manage our fear of missing out. and you can join in at 800-642-1234. When do you feel this fear of missing out? Do you feel like you have to be on social media more so you don't miss the important thing? How strongly do you feel it? How do you handle it? Does it affect decisions you make about what to do and when? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris Berry is a psychology professor at Washington State University. His lab researches youth behavior and personality. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I gave some, ideas of what fear of missing out might look like. Do you have kind of a working definition as you do your research into the topic?
Yeah, I think you gave a lot of really great examples just now. The way we sort of think about it is preoccupation or distress with missing out on activities, especially activities within our own social circle.
And this could happen without social media, but it seems like a lot easier to think about, to worry about when we're on social media a lot. Is that true?
That's right. And we didn't really have a term or a label for this in the psychological research world until about 10 years ago. And it really was because of social media and the availability of those images that we're missing out on. So our friends post a picture of something that they've done or a meal that they've had or an outing or event that they've gone to. And it's readily available for us to see and to realize that we've missed out.
We use FOMO, fear of missing out, maybe a lot on social media and is just kind of a, I guess a pop culture term. Are there potentially significant consequences for our mental and emotional well-being if we're feeling this a lot in a negative way?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we've done in my research is look at the apparent impact of social media on adolescents, for example. And we don't really see a one-size-fits-all impact. What we see is that in one of our studies, adolescents with more social media accounts experienced higher rates of anxiety and depression, but only if they also had that fear of missing out. So that fear of missing out in terms of how someone approaches social media and the impact it has on them seems to be a really important variable.
When I think of fear of missing out and heavy social media users, I do think first of younger people. But you did some studies with different age groups trying to dig into this. What did you look at? What did you end up finding?
Yeah, so with the study I just mentioned, I was telling another researcher about it and talking about fear of missing out being a really important factor. And they said to me, well, what do you do about fear of missing out? And I didn't really have an answer for that. And it really got me thinking about what is really behind that. And is it something that we would see primarily in younger people as we might expect? And so the study that we did that you referenced looked at individuals in their teens, another group in their 20s, another group in their 30s, and another group in their 40s. And long story short, we didn't find any age differences in fear of missing out at all. Instead, what we found is that regardless of age, people who tended to have lower self-esteem reported more isolation or loneliness, lower self-compassion, so really having a hard time coping with setbacks, also reported more fear of missing out. So it seems to be more of an individual variable more than just a generational thing or an age thing.
Is there something that sets apart people who might experience this negative fear of missing out if it is an age? Is there something else that might be a warning factor?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the one variable I mentioned, self-compassion, that I think is important. Part of self-compassion is what's known as mindfulness, and it's being in the moment. And so if we're really in the moment, tuned into the people around us, the experiences around us, there's really, in my opinion, less room for missing out, worrying about what we're not doing because we're really immersed in what we are doing.
We're talking about the concept of FOMO, fear of missing out, when we see likely on social media, though not just on social media, like, hey, it seems like everybody else is doing fun stuff and I'm missing out. And maybe if I have serious FOMO going on here, I feel bad about it. Has this happened to you or someone you know? Have you found a way to deal with it? When you look on social media and see all that cool stuff, does it make you feel bad you're not doing all the cool stuff? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris, I think sometimes we have conversations where it's, social media is good or social media is bad. But from your research and others, it seems like it could go either way. I could use social media as a tool to arrange that cool stuff, get together with my friends. It could be an avenue for a good social connection, or I could lurk and watch people do fun stuff and feel bad that I'm not out doing it. It's kind of how we use it.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, yeah, the research findings are really mixed. It's as I mentioned earlier, not a one size fits all piece. So what we really sort of have narrowed in on is someone's mindset. You know, how are they using social media? What are they using it for? If it's causing any kind of distress, are they taking reasonable steps to maybe cut back on it? And really using it as a tool for things that are beneficial.
If we are in that zone where we're using it in that negative way, we're seeing the people post the best, the highlight reels of their lives and comparing our own daily lives to it. How are there thoughts on how we can break out of that?
Yeah, that's a great question and an important one. I think the first step in that is to really tune into, is this something that's really adding to my daily life? Is this something that's beneficial for me? Or is this something that's just really causing me a lot of stress? So I think that's the first step. Another thing that we looked at in some of our research are what's known as protective behavioral strategies. So these are things that are designed to limit the impact of something. And so it really is rooted in the addiction research, actually. So things that people might use to lessen the impact or the harm caused by alcohol use, for example. So using a designated driver is one classic example. So in terms of the social media piece, one of the things that we've had adolescents and young adults tell us in our research that they might do are things like turning off notifications so that we're not getting a notification every time there's a post or someone's messaged us. Turning off the device at night. One of the things that we see with teens over the last decade is that social media and electronic use more broadly negatively impacts sleep. Deleting apps might be a little bit more of a drastic step, but something that some people are willing to do if it's really taking a lot of time. So what are the strategies that someone might use to just lessen the impact?
I've talked to a guest about taking social media Sabbath, picking one day of the week where you don't do any social media. Or I've heard other people say, schedule yourself at whatever, 7 p.m., I'm going to take 20 minutes and catch up on my social media, but I'm not going to keep picking it up through the day. Are those other good strategies?
Absolutely. And I think those are things that are sort of trial and error. And they're sort of, again, not a one size fits all piece, but it's something that someone could really think about as potentially a good fit for them. And for those of us who work with teens or young people, I think it's incumbent upon us to just describe those strategies to them, so they're just aware of some of the different things that they might try.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Paul is calling from the Mississippi River. You're out on the river. Is that right, Paul?
Well, we just left the river, but I just heard your story, and I thought I had something to contribute.
Yeah, what did you want to tell us about, Paul?
Well, I'm on the other end of the fear of missing out. I create these events for our summer camp in Wisconsin. The camp's been in existence since 1951, and we do these reunions. And I get calls from kids of kids that went to the summer camp, and they feel bad that they can't come to the reunion. So I have to talk them down sometime, like, you know, you can come to the reunion next year, or study us on the website and keep in touch with us. That makes them feel a little better, especially the kids on social media that really want to participate in this, you know, event. Those who live in Wisconsin may understand the beauty of these summer camps all over the state.
Paul, I want to talk about the connections you have. Now, people had such a great experience with their first outing in this camp program. They want to keep coming back and rekindling those connections year after year?
That's correct. And we meet every year in Waupaca for this summer camp that closed in 1988. And yet we still go back, many of us, every year to Waupaca. We hang out at the Chain of Lakes or on Stratton Lake where the camp was. And we get, you know, 10, 15 people. Sometimes we get 70. But I always get these people that say we have a fear of missing out, like we'll never get to go to the camp again.
And Paul, can I ask, how long have you personally been doing this?
Since I was a camper in 1966, and I worked through the ranks like a lot of other people. I came back as a junior counselor, senior counselor, then as a director. And then finally, after the camp closed, I created this group, CampWaupaca.com, and we basically, you know, send pictures and we tell stories about our experiences at camp. And now we have the kids and even the grandkids of campers and staff that went there.
Paul, thanks a lot for sharing that. That's a great story. You may hear more from us. I think we'll want to know more about that. But Chris, I think at the core of the fear of missing out is the worry about being isolated from people. Paul's experience there at the camp really affirms the value of making those connections. Even if some people worry that they can't make it this year, they have that fear of missing out. I don't know. Could you talk about what you hear in those connections Paul's telling us about?
That's right. I mean, Paul was giving me a little fear of missing out describing being out on the river this afternoon. I think that sort of fits a point that you made earlier, which is that fear of missing out is I think a part of a human experience in that we want to connect. We don't want to be isolated. And this has been the case since long before social media. The social media makes it a more salient everyday experience. It makes it more obvious what we're missing out on. I suspect with these camp reunions, a lot of the location, time, date, et cetera, are communicated online or through social media too. So it just makes those things that we're missing out on more obvious to us than they might have been in years past. But the key point is that, it's understandable that people experience a fear of missing out because we like to connect with others for the most part.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to psychology professor Chris Berry from Washington State University, looking at the idea of FOMO, the fear of missing out, how to manage it. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had this feeling yourself? What gives you the fear of missing out? Do you think social media or other technology is contributing to your FOMO or in general in our society? Join in at 800-642-1234. Or have you found a way to overcome that? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Chris Berry, psychology professor at Washington State University who researches youth behavior and personality. He's with us today to explore how we're affected by the fear of missing out, FOMO, and what we can do when we feel it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had this maybe while looking at social media? Everybody's doing cool stuff that I am missing out on. Do you still feel that way? Did you get over it in some way? Did it inspire you to do more stuff with people? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris, I wonder if this is a variety of fear of missing out. The idea that, okay, when we do something fun and cool, if I'm out with friends at a restaurant or bar or whatever, then I might take a picture, put it on social media. If I'm at home eating pretzels, watching a Gilligan's Island marathon, I'm probably not going to post that. So then when you go and look at social media, everybody's posting their best stuff on there, but you compare it to your daily life that, you know, there's some fun stuff, but it isn't always that way. Do we kind of compare our daily lives with that best of reel we're getting on social media all the time?
Right. It's a really important point too. You know, I've heard many people say that what you're seeing on social media is essentially a highlight reel from people. And certainly some people decide that, a lot of experiences that they have are worth highlights. And so they post those and some people may be more hesitant to do so. I mentioned the sleep issue earlier. The other thing that we see consistently in the research in terms of potential negative impacts of social media, and again, there are some positives that appear to be the case, are those social comparisons. And so I think especially as these platforms were becoming more widespread and more commonly used, it was natural to start to engage in a lot of social comparisons that we would not have made if we'd not seen these posts on social media. But again, it's important to keep in mind that we're seeing the best case scenario in most cases from the people that we follow.
A lot of your research works with younger people. Maybe their first experience is getting into social media. Do you have thoughts on how, you know, we can prepare kids to recognize that this is the way things work and not be overwhelmed by the fear of missing out?
It is a great question as well. And I think part of it is, or part of the challenge is that these platforms are constantly changing and evolving and emerging. And so the things that teens used 5 years ago have changed to new platforms now. And so part of the challenge For parents, for example, is to just be aware of what's out there and what's popular among teens. I think the other part is to really stress the message that even though social media can be a useful tool for a lot of reasons, they're not, I think, best thought of as replacing those face-to-face or direct interactions with peers. And so to really encourage those opportunities as well.
Talking about the idea of FOMO, the fear of missing out, with Chris Berry, psychology professor at Washington State University. He's done some research on this. We heard from Paul and Phillips, who couldn't stay on the line but wanted to bring up the other side. JOMO, joy of missing out. Paul told us there's so many things to do at this point in my life. A lot I see has been there, done that. I'm on to doing other things. Chris, people have talked about this idea that, like, hey, I feel good. There's too much stuff out there. I like having a break from it. You tried to look into this idea of the joy of missing out. Is it a thing?
Yeah, we tried to, as you said. Yeah, so the thing about joy of missing out that we had in mind was that, exactly as you said, that there may be times where it's just good to disconnect, that disconnection can be rejuvenating, can be refreshing to us. And we've probably all experienced that from time to time. What we found when we tried to measure JOMO, to get people to sort of reflect on their experiences, is we ended up finding, unexpectedly, that people who reported joy of missing out, a lot of them also reported a lot of social anxiety and loneliness. And so part of what we were capturing unintentionally was that some people enjoy missing out because social interactions for them are really stressful or anxiety provoking, which was not what we were trying to get at. What we were trying to get at is the enjoyment of just disconnecting, of having those periods of solitude that where we can sort of self-reflect and like I said, get rejuvenated. So we do see some people who are reporting that, and also reporting not as much anxiety and greater life satisfaction. But the other thing, I guess, bottom line that I would say about that is that JOMO is probably best understood as sort of short periods of time where we like to sort of decompress, turn things off, disconnect. But then as human beings, most of us still want to reconnect with other people and stay connected.
Yeah, a lot of this sounds really high tech, things we do on social media, but it speaks to, you know, maybe something fundamental about us as social animals. Is fear of missing out just part of an expression of our basic need to connect with other humans?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that we weren't really forced to think about it in the way that we've been talking about until social media put the missing out kind of right in our pockets.
What are you looking at next when it comes to researching these ideas of missing out on other things and how we relate to it?
So the next step we're in the process of developing is to revisit the concept of JOMO, or joy of missing out, but to look at it not as sort of a personality trait that people have, but to look at it in terms of periods throughout the day that people are experiencing greater solitude. And are they also experiencing some sort of relief or some sort of greater sense of calm at those times? So what we're going to do with that study is to have people sort of reflect on their mental state, their disconnection or connection regarding others multiple times a day over the course of a week, to really see the more moment-to-moment changes in connection with others. And is that a good thing or not a good thing?
Having studied this so closely yourself, does this, change the way you think about how you use social media to connect to other people?
Absolutely. And I think the challenge is to not try to not be hypocritical about it, or to actually learn from what we're doing. And so I do think that, you know, I've found myself being more mindful about my interface with social media. Is it beneficial? In what ways is it beneficial? Am I getting really upset about seeing some posts? Maybe it's a political thing or whatever. And in those situations, maybe disconnecting or turning it off.
And how about your students, as you talk to them about it? How do they reflect on these issues?
They're just a fountain of information, as you might imagine. Just their sophistication with these platforms is really high. And I think they have a pretty strong sense of how people express themselves in these platforms and how that's changed. And so one of the things that students continue to tell me is that the difference between, there's a difference between seeing posts that are more visual or photo based and those that are more text based. And so the photo base is just a quicker hit. It often sort of engenders that fear of missing out more quickly than just reading someone's tweet or Facebook post, for example, that's a lot of words.
Interesting. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That's Chris Berry, psychology professor at Washington State University. His lab researches youth behavior and personality. He was with us today to talk about the fear of missing out and how to handle it. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, Hawaii's wildfire outbreak was the deadliest in the U.S. in many years. A Wisconsin wildfire expert joins the show for a look at the causes and the risks of fast-spreading fires. And the NFL is in the midst of preseason right now. We're going to dig into the long history of professional football in the United States. A couple of brief stops in Wisconsin along the way. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we learn about changes coming to absentee ballot envelopes for next spring's primary, a sticking point in past elections, and a Republican effort to intervene in a Democratic challenge to several absentee voting measures. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.